ton activité et l'organisme partenaire reçoit 150 $ pour appuyer. Passe à l'action et fais rayonner le français dans ta communauté. Visite programmevive.ca et dépose ta demande dès maintenant.
Hello everybody. Welcome to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, the show that features all kinds of Newfoundland and Labrador music from the vinyl era, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. If you're a hopeless nostalgic, if you're stuck in a vinyl groove, if you're inclined to drift from the mainstream, stay tuned for an hour full of music by Newfoundland and Labrador's pioneer recording artists with your host, Wayne Tucker.
Hello everybody and welcome. Now for this episode, I decided I was going to do a show with an animal theme. Mammals, really. But I ended up focusing on three mammals only, because I found there was a fair number of songs written about bears, that's B-E-A-R-S, goats, and moose. Now, most of the songs that I've chosen for today's episode are on the funny side, and if you stay with me for the next hour or so, I can guarantee that you'll have a few chuckles. And here's a good chuckler coming up as we start off with a number that's not about bears, moose, or goats. It's a zany piece of nonsense about a variety of Newfoundland and Labrador's wild creatures. It's about a moose enjoying a cup of tea, an owl drying his head in a pink bath towel, a seal in a loom with the words "just married" on a red balloon, and a beaver and a squirrel sleeping in the singer's bed. This is Newfie Zoo, and it's by Parson to Parson.
I've got a zoo in my own backyard. I collected all the animals, it wasn't very hard. One day I met a moose and he smiled at me. I said, come into the house and have a hot drop of tea. He stayed all day cause it was drizzling rain, but next time it rains he'll be back again. 2 weeks later it was foggy and damp. Just around supper I was lighting up the lamp. Two big knocks came a-knocking at the door. Here was Mr. Moose and he was back once more. He said, I came for a minute till the raining ends. I bought a few chums and a few old friends. First came a caribou and then came an owl. He dried off his head in a pink bath towel. Next came a rabbit and a big red fox. They lay down together in a cardboard box. Next came an otter and a big black bear. He ate up all the berries that I picked last year. Then came a squirrel and a slippery snail. A big fat beaver who slid down the rail. Next came an otter, and what do you think? In came a shrew and a furry old mink. Next came a seal and a silly old loon with the words "just married" on a red balloon. There wasn't even room to lay down your head. The beaver and the squirrel were in my bed. The moose lay down by the kitchen door, and the bear stretched out on the bathroom floor. The little white rabbit and the big red fox both slept together in the cardboard box. There were grunts and squeals nearly all night long, but early in the morning they all were gone. The sun was shining through the window pane, but next time it rains, they'll be back again. Now here's some advice, and it may sound funny. If you're coming for a visit, just come when it's sunny. On rainy nights, there's no place to lay your head. There may be a squirrel sleeping in your bed.
Well, 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 what a delightful piece of nonsense to kick off today's program. That was the Newfie Zoo by Parson to Parson. And Parson to Parson were Father Ed Brophy, who was a Roman Catholic priest, or is, and Reverend Paul Rumbolt, a United Church minister. And at the time that this recording was made, it was 1988 or so, around there, each of those were stationed in the Buchans area. And they made the album, I'll call it. I think it was only released on cassette tape. It was called For Heaven's Sake. And I think it's the only recording that they made. Now, this cassette was actually produced as a fundraiser for a church in Buckland's Junction. And it was constructed out of logs, apparently. the kingpin behind building it was Father Brophy. And that church has gone on to become the centerpiece of Buckland's Junction and a pride of the committee that put it there. Now, the idea with the tape, as I said, it was to be a fundraiser, and the first $5,000 after costs would go towards renovating the log church. And all songs on that tape are originals, although the composers are not credited with the liner notes for the album. And I understand that each person wrote six of the songs, and that Reverend Rumbold played most of the instruments. Interesting history then behind that cassette tape. Okay, let's move along now to our theme, one third of our theme anyway, songs about beers. And we are going to hear a number by Gary Mitchell from McCovic on the Labrador coast. Don't know a whole lot about him, but the liner notes give a little bit of insight into what the man was about. He says, and I'm quoting here, "I wish to do my part for the preservation of our cultural heritage by bringing you the songs on this cassette. Music is an excellent way to tell stories of days gone by and to inspire us to hang on to our culture." End of quote. And I think now that the next song does that, a song that Gary Mitchell wrote, is called The Visit from the Polar Bear. And this is particularly timely in our province because there have been several sightings of the mighty polar bears in Labrador and in Newfoundland as of late. One that's got a lot of attention in the media is a bear that was seen in St. Louis in Labrador. And also there have been sightings on Fogo Island and in the Twillingate area. And local authorities have issued warnings and safety guidelines. Okay, let's get back to Gary Mitchell's song. And I encourage you to pay close attention to the lyrics because they tell a good story. Beautifully told, I think. Fine musicians on this album. I just love it and I hope you do too. The animal was beautiful in its furry coat of white. It sat by Uncle Rupert's house, thinking about her plight. Eating on some seal meat, the polar bear did pose, so the folks could take some pictures before she decides to go.
Morning, McCovic was a buzz with news about the bear. Crowds gathered down at Indian Head like people at the fair. The animal was beautiful, its furry coat of white. It sat by Uncle Rupert's house thinking about a plight. Eating on some seal meat, polar bear did pose, so the folks could take some pictures before she decided to go. Chopped, landed on Indian Head, and caribou stew and owl.
chased a bear with a tranquilizer on the side of the hill. The crowd then caught up with them and observed a dopey bear. While they removed the good from her and tagged her for a year. They hushed the low buzz, the large crowd and the chopper lifted up. Seeing our bear in that bag, our hearts they didn't get soft. The excitement was all over, but memories remain. And we dearly hope one day we'd see our polar bear again.
Oh boy, I love everything about that number. The song told the story of Mokovic people's respect for the great polar bear. And it's from Gary Mitchell's cassette tape, Hanging On to Labrador, that he released in 1994 and recorded at Driftwood Studio in Corner Brook. So the fine music that you heard on that track was supplied by Bugs Green, who played a multitude of instruments on there, as did the great Reg Brown. And the singer, of course, was Gary Mitchell. Well, you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. I'm your host, Wayne Tucker, and right now we are featuring songs about bears, B-E-A-R-S, and polar bears, to be specific. Our next number will be sung by Bernard MacDonald. Bernard grew up in the remote fishing village of Canada Harbour. That was in Canada Bay, Newfoundland. I say was because it was resettled in the 1960s and in the early 70s. Bernard left there at age 17, and after working for several years in St. John's, he went back to Anglie, and later he was off to Toronto. And in Toronto, he had his day job there and sang in various clubs at night. And sometimes, in his live performances, he was backed by Waite Bay's Gary Gale on accordion and Botwood's Jerry Regular on guitar. Bernard MacDonald released something like 4 singles and a cassette tape. The cassette tape was called Songs from the Heart, released it in 1984. Haven't gotten my hands on a copy of that one yet. The song we're going to hear is from one of his singles called The Polar Bear Blues. And this is a pleasant, silly little ditty. Great musicians on it and a well-produced production. Polar Bear Blues is a song that MacDonald co-wrote with Fred K. Peterson and Alec King. He's shaking in his snowshoes. Got the Polar Bear Blues.
Many miles from home. Who would ever think before I came here I'd wind up a prisoner of a polar bear. I got the polar bear blues. I got the polar bear blues.
Polar bear blues.
I'm shaking in my snowshoes. I got the polar bear blues. I'm turning blue as ice on this igloo floor. White bear squatting by my door. A long red tongue hanging from his mouth. I wish somebody come and get me out. I got the polar bear blues. I got the polar bear blues.
Polar bear blues.
I'm shaking in my snowshoes. I got the polar bear blues. I crawl 5 miles on my hands and knees. Sitting at my door just watching me freeze. I let him eat my boots while I snuck inside. And now that polar bear wants the rest of my hide. I got the polar bear blues. I got the polar bear blues.
Polar bear blues.
I'm shaking in my snowshoes. I got the polar bear blues. Bear was getting hungry and so was I. For 3 long days I've been waiting inside. Oh dear God, is this the way I'll go? Trapped by a bear in a house of snow. I got the polar bear blues. I got the polar bear blues.
shaking in my snowshoes. I got the polar bear blues. I'm shaking in my snowshoes. I got the polar bear blues.
That fine piece of music just heard was the Polar Bear Blues, and it was sung by Bernard McDonald. Okay, we move on now to an even foolisher song. We'll bring in the duo Free Bear, who were Kevin Blackmore and Chris Elliott. Now, Kevin Blackmore, he's kind of a household name in Newfoundland these days, I think from Gander originally, and after Free Bear, he moved on and became better known as Buddy Wassisname of Buddy Wassisname and the Other Fellers. And Chris Elliott, not sure where he's from, not from Newfoundland, I don't think, and he had a radio program after Free Bear disbanded, ran for quite a long time, from 1996 to 2006, called Madly Off in All Directions, a comedy show. And on that program, he was known as Lorne Elliott. And Lorne is his middle name, apparently. Now, Kevin Blackmore and Chris Elliott released an album called Clueless in 1982, a vinyl album. And we shall hear a track from that now about two hunters who respond to a tourist's challenge to shoot a bear. The song is simply called The Bear. Get ready for a real good laugh.
Now me and a buddy was sitting around in the hunting lodge bar, and after we downed a couple of beers, some loud talking tourist got up and proposed a bet. He stood up and he challenged anyone there who could hunt and kill and bring in the bear would win all the beer that he could drink. And when we heard that, we got set. We had 98 bucks between us, no fear. We had 8 bucks for food and 90 for beer. And we loaded our guns and ammunition, a lock, stock, barrel and butt. In the back of a car, a unknown year, with 3 ball tires and no first gear. In a rusted, busted automobile, with a monkey wrench for a steering wheel. And both front doors jammed and rusted, permanently shut. That weekend we shot some no trespassing signs and some glass insulators for telephone lines and any number of bottles and cans. Let me see, also we knocked off 14 sheep, 3 cows, 6 frogs. We winged 4 hunters and we wounded their dogs, but we never even saw a bear. Maybe it's cause we was half crocked. So we started home from our half-baked trip, half-hearted, half-blind and half-cut. In the back of a car of unknown year, with 3 ball tires and no first gear. In a rusted, busted automobile, with a funky wrench for a steering wheel. And both front doors jammed and rusted, permanently shut. Well, we started on the highway with all that drinking, and by this time we were completely stinking. And I just didn't see the hairy form which bounded in front of our wheels. Until too late, I honked and steered, and I slammed on my brakes, and I pumped and veered, amid screaming brake linings and ball-bearing whinings and burning ears, splitting tires, wheels. Well, I couldn't help it, it wasn't my fault. I'm no hitting runner, so I came to a halt, and we climbed into the back door, uneasy and queasy, to see what it was that I'd struck. Well, large as life, but dead lying there, stretched out on the road, was a full-grown bear. We stared and we looked at each other, then we smiled. We couldn't believe our luck. So we loaded them into the back of the car, hide, hair and butt. In the back of a car, a unknown year, with 3 ball tires and no first gear. In a rusted, busted automobile, with a monkey wrench for a steering wheel. And both front doors jammed and rusted, permanently shut. Well, driving home, we started the song, and we weren't singing it for very long, when I noticed a peculiar third bass voice joining in slightly up key. Now we were seeing double, but I've never heard of hearing double. And then it occurred, a hairy, scary, incredible theory, something that just couldn't be. And as if to confirm, it wasn't a joke, the bear who had only been stunned awoke, and with a snore and a roar and a scowl and a growl, like a red bull rhino in rut. In the back of a car of unknown year, with 3 ball tires and no first gear. In a rusted, busted automobile, with a monkey wrench for a steering wheel. And both front doors jammed and rusted, permanently shut. Well, now here in the hospital things are quiet, and if it wasn't too painful to cry then I'd try it. But mostly I sit here and listen to me buddy moaning in the opposite bed. It wasn't what you think though, it wasn't the bear who had caused all this physical wear and tear. It was the goddamn monkey wrench spun off the driving jab. I thought we were all dead when we hit the ditch. As for the bear, he's three beds over. You can hear him swear and moaning and groaning and complaining and paining about wanting to get home, but not in the carambun, no one here with three bald tires and no first gear in a rusted, busted automobile with a monkey wrench for a steering wheel and both front doors jammed and rusted permanently shut.
Okay, what a hoot. Free Bear. Bear spelled B-E-E-R with the song The Bear. Bear spelled B-E-A-R. You are listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. I'm Wayne Tucker, and coming up, songs about goats. Okay, we bring Dick Nolan in now. He's going to sing a song called Paddy McGinty's Goat. And that number, foolish number as you might expect, it was written in 1917 by English songwriters Bert Lee and R.P. Weston in collaboration with the American performing duo, the Two Bobs, who are Bob Alden and Bob Adams. The song Paddy McGinty's Goat, it was popularized in 1964 by Irish singer Val Dunigan, and it's been recorded by a number of Newfoundland artists, including Harry Hibbs. The Enna Sisters did it, and a group called Family Ties. Now, Dick Nolan, he included it on his album Happy Newfoundlanders, which was released, I'm not sure if it was 73 or 74 for that one. The Angel with the Whiskers is Paddy McGinty's Goat.
Now Patrick McGinty, an Irishman of note, came into a fortune and he bought himself a goat. He said, sure of goat's milk, I now will have me fill. But when he brought the nanny home, he found it was a mill. Well, all the young ladies who lived in Callaloo, they're all wearing bustles like their mothers used to do. They each wear a bolster beneath their petticoat and leave the rest to Providence and Paddy McGinty's goat. Mrs. Burke to her daughter said, listen, Mary Jane, who was the lad you were cuddling in the lane? He'd long, wiry whiskers a-hanging from his chin. 'Twas only Paddy McGinty's goat, she answered with a grin. So she went away from the village in disgrace. She came back with powder and paint upon her face. She'd rings on her fingers and she wore a sable coat. I bet your life she didn't get that from Paddy McGinty's goat. Well, Nora McCarthy, the knot was gonna tie. She washed out her trousseau and she hung him out to dry. Along came the goat and he saw the bits of white and chewed up all her folderols upon her wedding night. Well, turn out the light, she shouted out at Pat. Although I'm your bride, well, I'm not worth looking at. I had two of everything I told you when I wrote, but now I've gotten nothing at all through Paddy McGinty's goat. Now old Paddy's goat had a wondrous appetite, and early one morning he ate some dynamite. A big box of matches he swallowed all serene, and then he went and swallowed up a quart of gasoline. Well, he sat by the fire and he didn't give a hang. He swallowed his bark and exploded with a bang. So if you go to heaven, you can bet a dollar note that the angel with the whiskers is Paddy McGinty's goat.
The great Dick Nolan with Paddy McGinty's goat. Now we move along to a number by Joan Morrissey, probably the best known goat song that's performed in this province, called The Mobile Goat. Now, Mobile, of course, is a town which is located south of Bay Bulls on the southern shore of the Avalon Peninsula, south of St. John's. And the town of Mobile has become famous for its goat. A matter of fact, the goat is even featured on the town's Welcome to Mobile sign. We shall hear now the best known version of The Mobile Goat, sung by Joan Morrissey. Tom Cowell wrote this one, and it's from Joan's album Home Brew that she released in 1973.
Story of the mobile goat on the grand old southern shore, in the lovely Isle of Newfoundland, where goats don't roam no more. It's about a man named Dylan, whose cursing was of note, and how he was digging for spots one day when he spoke to the mobile goat. Now that goat had been stealing, digging spots for 20 years or more, and every time he saw him, Dylan cursed and raged and swore. He was digging hard in his field this time. The goat was chewing away near a great big 6-foot granite rock. Well, Dylan heard him say, "Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap?" "Oh, I'm digging them," says Dylan, "not enough to fill a boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rock. Stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat." Now Dylan got afraid of his life when he knew just what took place, and he said, "Good Lord, 'tis the devil himself come to snatch me from your grace, come to take me for my sacrilege and my rotten life of sin." And he ran like mad down the hill to home, and the goat just pitched right in. But they say 'twas the priest just passing by when he heard old Dylan curse on the goat and the spuds and the Lord above for making all things worse. Just to hush the roars at heaven's above, he thought he'd bid good day. And as he passed the garden fence, the good priest he did say, "Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap?" "Oh, I'm digging them," says Dylan, "got enough to fill me boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat." You could never tell Dylan 'twas the priest who spoke to stop his cursing spree, passing quietly behind that rock so Dylan couldn't see. And to this day in Mobile, on that grand old southern shore, there's a thousand who believe the goat spoke out when Dylan swore. "Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap?" "Oh, I'm digging them," says Dylan, "got enough to fill me boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten."
Well, that wonderful piece of music was by Newfoundland's Queen of Country Music back in the 1970s, Joan Morrissey. You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, and right now we're spinning Silly Goat Songs. And coming up later in the program, two moose stories and two silly moose songs. So hang around for those. Our final goat number in our trilogy of goat songs is by Albert Dean and the Island Four. Now, Albert Dean, he was born in Victoria, Conception Bay, Newfoundland, out Carbonera way. And throughout his career, he released 4 LPs. Actually, I think he released a few CDs and so on later as well. He released 4 LPs that would have been in the 1970s and into the early 80s, I think. And he and his band, they often played at dances and social functions in the Conception Bay and Trinity Bay areas back in the 1970s and into the early 80s. Played lots of weddings, that sort of thing. Now, back in 74, he was living in Labrador, actually, for a while, specifically in the community of Black Tickle, and he was working in that area as a linesman. And that's when he recorded his album, On the Shores of Labrador. And one of the tracks on that album is simply called The Goat. It's a song that Albert Dean wrote, a silly song, of course, And in the song, the singer, he loves his goat, quite fond of him, until one day the goat ate shirts off his clothesline. Now, Albertine didn't take too kindly to that. I got curious about that. Does a goat really eat clothes? And apparently, they've been known to chew on fabrics. I checked it out. Anyway, back to the song. So the goat ended up being tied to a railway track with a train about to come along. So listen up. How's the goat going to get out of this one?
There was a man, oh please take note, there was a man who had a goat. He loved that goat, indeed he did. He loved that goat just like a kid. One day that goat, feeling frisk and fine, he treed his shirts from off the line. The man he took the goat by the back, and he tied her to that railroad track. Now when that train, it grew in sight, the goat grew faint and pale with fright. She hove his sign as if in pain, coughed up the shirts and flagged that train. Coughed up the shirts and flagged that train.
Track you just heard was by Albert Dean and the Island Four, simply called The Goat. Now, next up, let's get along to some moose ditties. We're going to hear a story now by Ben J. Plowman. He's the guy that's been known for his storytelling and recitations from Port au Choix. That's on the west coast of Newfoundland, partway up the Great Northern Peninsula. Ben Plowman worked for a while as a park interpreter at Gros Morne National Park. That's when he published his book of stories, 44 stories. That was in 1988, and he called the book Born and Bred on the Rock. Apparently, a few years after that was released, I think I got my facts right here, he released a cassette tape with some of those stories that were in his book on the tape. I think that was released about 1990. And all the tracks on the tape were composed by Ben Plowman, and he recorded it at Reg Brown's Driftwood Studio in Corner Brook. The song we are going to hear is called The Fraggle Rock Romance. And it tells the story of the moose that swam to Bell Island back in the mid-1980s. And that meant it was the only moose on the island. And residents of the island became quite fond of it, but they were worried about the moose being lonely. And here's the story about all of that and what the lonely moose did during rutting season.
Thank you. Thank you once again. Some years ago now, a young bull moose swam the Tickle between Portugal Cove and Bell Island, just outside St. John's. And once on the island, or locally named Fraggle Rock, the young bull decided to stay, and thus made this island paradise his home. Bell Islanders called the young moose Bill, and when Bill grew of age and mating time came, there was no cow moose for him to mate with. So Bill started making passes at the local dairy cows. Thus, the Fraggle Rock Romance began. It was the ninth day of October in the year of 81, the story of Wild Bill had all first begun. Between the island's mainland and the shores off Bell Island, a bull moose swam the Tickle, a distance of 3 miles. Then in the early fall, in the year of 86, now 5 or 6 years older, very proud and under sixth, Wild Bill saw a lovely cow with udders that hung so low, but he did not realize then that she was a dairy cow. Not knowing that the cow was off the wrong type, Wild Bill did approach her one lonely moonlight night. The cow was quite surprised and very embarrassed, no doubt. Wild Bill popped a question and he asked the dairy out. The dairy belt for comfort and not that kind of speed turned Wild Bill down flat, saying, "I don't have the need." Then Wild Bill got really mad and went out on the loose, and he started making passes at those oddly shaped moose. It was Wild Bill's desire to mate with a lovely cow, but with no formal sex education, he really didn't know how. Wild Bill continued to harass the dairies all around, thus creating a problem in nearby Wabana Town. So the Wabana Town Council met quickly to discuss the fate of Wild Bill, who was making quite a fuss. And the council's first decision was to get rid of Wild Bill, send him back across the tickle. He's a nuisance, what the hell. But before he was deported, islanders began to feel sorry, because Wild Bill had been their only moose now for years without a worry. So instead of getting rid of Wild Bill, who was taking it calmly, they said, let's bring in a mate so Wild Bill can start a family. Day after day, week after week, Wild Bill went without shame, and by the middle of October, he was getting international fame. Newspaper reporters phoned from faraway as Alaska and spoke to a Mr. Crane Sr., the man who minds the pasture. They were all inquiring about the love life of Wild Bill and the plight of the dairies that he had fell for as well. As one local farmer put it about Wild Bill on the loose, our cows don't say moo anymore. All they say is moose. We are all aware by now this fall Wild Bill won't be mating. But what about next fall, though? Will Belinda be in waiting? Now, the dairies see Wild Bill as a friend and a neighbor. They feel much more comfortable now with the rutting season over. And the story of Wild Bill doesn't yet have an end. He's spending lonely winters with the dairies all buried in. But it just goes to show you how lonely a bull moose can get. If he can't be with his own kind, then he'll love the ones he's with. My dreams came through.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that story by Ben J. Plowman. That was the Fraggle Rock Romance. Okay, if you just tuned in and wondering what you're listening to, this is the Newfound Records Radio Hour, and I'm your host, Wayne Tucker. And we got another moose story coming up right now. This one is by the master storyteller, Ted Russell. Ted was born at Coley's Point in Conception Bay way back in 1904. Had a varied career, worked as a teacher, as a magistrate. He was director of cooperatives for a while, was a cabinet minister in the Smallwood government. He was an insurance salesman, a university professor. I recall seeing him at university while I was in there. And he was a writer. Now, his Uncle Moe's character, that we're about to hear a story from, first appeared on Newfoundland Radio back in 1953. As part of CBC's Fisherman's Broadcast. And Ted Russell apparently delighted listeners with that program for some 9 years. Now in 1979, Ted Russell's son, Kelly, he released a vinyl LP which contained 6 of his father's stories. And he called the LP The Chronicles of Uncle Moe's. Now Kelly has since gone on and released many more of his father's stories on vinyl, on tape and on compact disc. And Kelly himself, he has often performed his father's stories live. I've heard him perform them, and he does a great job. The story we are going to hear now is called The Bull Moose. Here's Ted Russell.
After hearing the unkind remarks that Grandpa Walcott passed about the stupidity of such animals as the rabbit and the beaver, you might get the idea he's a man with no respect for dumb animals at all. But don't get him wrong. You should hear him talk about what he calls genuine animals. Ones that any up-and-coming country like Canada might well be proud of to have as their national animal. Take, for example, the doghood. Now there's an animal with character. Why, a doghood will sit there on a pan of ice all day long minding his own business. Leave him bide, and he'll do as much for you. But molest him and see what happens. That is, if you live to tell about it. Grandpa says he's heard tell about animals in foreign parts that have been known to fight till they're dead. But the doghood is different. Well, he'll fight after he's dead. Skipper Lige Bartle out spoiling one morning years ago, shot and pelted one just after daylight. And coming back that way late in the evening, the carcass of that old dog Hoodie said snapped at him. And if Skipper Lige hadn't been so yarry, he'd have lost a piece off his starboard leg. Or take King David, as Jethro Noddy's billy goat. He got his name from a clergyman that was here one time, who watched that billy goat jumping fences, and christened him King David after a character in the Psalms, who used to be good at jumping over walls. And when you remember that that clergyman went away from here in the First World War, it'll give you some idea about King David's age. Naturally, he's through with jumping fences now, and is what you might call past his labor. But what dignity. And even today, if you throw something at him and then bend over with your back turned to him, like Aunt Sophie did, that time after King David took her best tablecloth off her clothesline, but that's a story in itself, and 'tis not the one I started to tell in the first place. The noblest animal of them all, says Grandpa, is the bull moose. And to prove his point, he tells the story about Skipper Jonathan Briggs, as Pete Briggs's father, and the experience he had one time with a bull moose. Now, Grandpa's not sure about the exact date. All he's sure of is that there was no war on at the time because the price of fish was low and times were bad. So he figures it was between 45 and 50 years ago when Skipper Jonathan was in his prime, the spryest man with the longest legs that Pigeon Inlet ever produced. Well, this day, according to Grandpa, Skipper Jonathan had an awful longing for meat. Naturally, of course, with times bad, there was only credit for flour and molasses, and 'twas the wrong season for turs. But he figured if he took his muzzle loader and walked the 2 mile across Gullmash into the low woods, he might spy a rabbit or something that might help keep body and soul together. So off he went, muzzle loader, powder horn, shot bag and all. Now, as everybody knows, the shore to the north between here and Hartley's Harbour is awful rugged, with cliffs about 200 foot high and a sheer drop to the beach below. There's not a tree to be seen all along that stretch of cliff, except one old pine tree right on the edge, about a mile to the north of here. Nowadays, with the frost eating away the cliff every spring, that old tree is hanging out over the water and likely to fall any time. But in those days, it was standing straight up right on the edge of that precipice, with the lowest limb about 20 feet off the ground. Well, according to Grandpa's story, Skipper Jonathan left Pigeon Inlet that morning, followed the dog team trail along the edge of the cliff till he got to that old pine tree. Then, taking his bearings from it, he turned off and headed straight across Gullmash towards the woods, about 2 mile back. He stopped just before he got to the scrub timber and put about 4 fingers in his muzzle loader, just about the right load for a rabbit. He put a cap on the nipple and went in, about half a gunshot, when what should he almost bump into head-on but this bull moose. For size, the like he'd never seen before or even heard tell of, and so close, he could almost reach out and touch him with the muzzle of the gun. And then, as Skipper Jonathan often admitted afterwards, he got excited and lost his head. He up-gun and fired right into that bull moose's face, although he should have known that 4 fingers would have about the same effect on that animal as a handful of pepper. Well, the moose shook his head, gave a snort, and took towards him, and Skipper Jonathan scooted out of that clump of trees in a hurry and headed back across Gullmash with the bull moose right on his heels. The mash was dry, so Jonathan made good going, but so did the moose. Jonathan looked back once, but what he saw didn't look too pleasant, so he hove away his gun and settled down to running. He said after that he remembered seeing a rabbit or two on the mash, but they got out of the way to let somebody run as knowed how. And then Skipper Jonathan remembered an awful thing. He was headed straight for the cliff with a 200-foot drop and sure death ahead of him, and that bull moose, which was even worse, right behind him. But then he thought of something else, a hope. That old pine tree, straight ahead on the edge of the cliff. But the limb, the lowest one, 20 foot off the ground. Could he jump up to it? Well, just then the moose snorted right down the back of his neck. So he opened his throttle right to the last notch. The tree was just ahead. He judged his distance, not 20 foot from the edge of the cliff, and he jumped. With his hands above his head and his fingers stretched out, hoping to clutch that limb. Did he clutch it, says Grandpa? No. Sad to say, he missed it. Missed it on the way up, that is, but fortunately he grabbed it on the way down. And that bull moose went through the air below him like he was shot from a gun and tumbled right down among the rocks in the land wash. And Skipper Jonathan worked his way along that limb to the trunk of the pine tree, got down on the ground, and had that moose dressed and brought home to Pigeon Inlet in a boat before dark that evening. That animal, said Grandpa, dressed 1,100 pounds, and the authorities in St. John's, when they heard it, reported to them, wired Skipper Jonathan to distribute the meat among the poor families of Pigeon Inlet. Well, said Grandpa, everyone is poor at a time like that, so it was cut and come again in every house in Pigeon Inlet for the next week or two. What a animal. Killed awful, too. Yes, said Grandpa, if I had my way, the bull moose would be the national animal of Canada, and every Pigeon Inletter would be proud then to be a Canadian.
Well, what a great story, and what a great storyteller Ted Russell was. That was simply called The Bull Moose from the album The Chronicles of Uncle Mose, the vinyl album released in 1979. Okay, we move on now to a moose song, as opposed to the two stories we just heard. And we're going to bring in Kevin Beanland to sing this one. And Beanland, he's a former miner from the Flatbay area in western Newfoundland. Wicked guitar player, this guy. Also well known for his fiddle playing. Plays mandolin and accordion, too. And he released something like 3 singles in the early 1980s. Also released a few compact discs and cassette tapes. And he's often backed other artists on their recordings because of his great guitar playing and fiddle playing. Now, here's a good story. During an Air Canada flight to Toronto, this was back in 1988 or so, one of the passengers urged Kevin to break out his fiddle. And Beanland did it, played a quick waltz and a reel, and stopped halfway through when he saw one of the pilots watching from the cockpit door. He was summoned to the cockpit where he expected to be chastised for disturbing the peace. But instead, he gave a command performance in the cockpit and was sent back to play more for the passengers. And thereafter, he became known as Air Canada's flying fiddler. Now, when he put out a cassette tape in 1988, what do you think he called it? Well, of course, The Flying Fiddler. And from that tape, we're going to hear a track now called The Moose Song. And in this one, the boys go moose hunting in the dark. But at daybreak, they get a big surprise.
And we're going to hunt the moose. We're parking onions in our packs, and the dogs are running loose. While we're headed in for Frenchman's Hill, a cabin we would stay. We tied the dogs and bed them down, then we hit the hay. Bernard started telling jokes, and I couldn't get to sleep. So I filled the stove with firewood, and it passed out from the heat. Eddie lay there snoring, sweated fell like rain, and the snores that came from Kevin John were making my ears pain. Next morning before breakfast, well, I untied my dog, and he headed straight for Juno's. There was something on the bog. Other dogs, you should have seen them go. Why, they ran just like greased lightning, and they hardly touched the snow. We grabbed our guns, jumped in our boots, and headed down the trail. And all hands in their underwear, and looking mighty pale. Well, we finally made it dogs were barking at a moose. It was almost hip and fried. Five shots rang out that morning and the moose lay on the bog. Well, we opened up and bled her, 'twas a feast for every dog. Then back to camp for breakfast, we had liver, pork and paste. And Stanley made the gravy, like soup never taste. Twas but a short time later that we went down with our packs. And little did we realize what we carry in our packs. And then we saw her colours, which the dark did not allow. And there upon big journal's bog lay pie slaves cow. Now the moral of this story is, don't you in the night, 'cause you may go to prison if you don't see the light. And if you go hunting and your dogs are on the loose, well, you better make sure it's daybreak before you shoot your noose.
Well, you are listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, and we've got another Silly Moose song for you right now. This one by Reg Watkins, the great singer-songwriter. The song we are going to hear Reg sing was actually a top 40 hit for him on Canada's RPM charts in 1975. And the song The Badger Moose really showcases several of Reg's talents. His sense of humor, his step dancing, something akin to yodeling and chin music going on in there. Some wild harmonica playing. It's quite an interesting listen.
It was early in the fall when I hauled my last trawl and I pulled my old punt upon the beach. It was a hard, hard year and the fish was so scarce and the money was still out of reach. So I wired me a message to the Waters Company. When the answer came, it said, come and work for the Indies. So I got me into the junction on that Millertown Badger line. I'm telling you, this just won't do, but the wood was hard to find. Well, I settled down, took off me coat, made that bucksaw sing. And I heard the bushes swishing, and I looked up at an ugly thing. Now, if you've never seen a logger with blazing trails real fast, you should have seen me on the badger line with a bull moose on my day. Well, I ran right down old Grand Falls as fit as fit could be, and I popped the cork on Newfie Screech. Now that's the end of me. Oh, to be a logger, work as hard as any man. Head for town when you have it made, and they'll put you in the can. Season's over and the moose have done their thing. Time to get on that badger line and make her for the spring. But if you've never seen a logger a blazing trails real fast, well, I used to buy on the badger line with a bull moose on my dee da la dee da 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 dee da
Reg Watkins, The Badger Moose. Well, well, well. Time is up. Got to get out of here. Frank Meyer takes us home today with the traditional Running the Goat. And this is from the album All the Best that was released in 1988 on vinyl, as well as on cassette tape and compact disc. It was released on the Pigeon Inlet Productions label that Kelly Russell masterminded. Thank you all for tuning in. I do hope you all enjoyed today's episode and that you'll join me again next week for more great music by Newfoundland and Labrador's pioneer recording artists. And until then, Let's all be good to each other, and especially good to our dear mother, Earth. She's sick. She needs all the love we can give her.
Thanks for tuning in to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. This show originates from the CHMR Studios, Memorial University, St. John's, Newfoundland. It was researched, produced, and hosted by Wayne Tucker. Send your email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. I'm Rosemary Thorne, and I'm inviting you to tune in again next week for more rare music by the pioneer recording artists from Newfoundland and Labrador.
There it is.
There's no place like
home. There really is no place like home. It's where life happens, where dreams are built, and where you land at the end of every day. But what home looks like is different for everyone. Welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. I'm Sherry Doherty, and together we'll explore what finding your way home truly means, whether you're buying your first place, making a move, investing, or choosing a different path altogether. Because home isn't just a place. It's a feeling, it's a choice, and it's personal. Tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. and start finding your way home.
Hello, it is I, DJ Tangent. You may know me from episodes of Making Bacon, such as the St. Patrick's Day special, the Homegrown Live preview show, and the Spring Reverb extravaganza. I have my own show now called Numbers with Wings. Join me, and I will take you on a voyage through garage rock, punk, post-punk, cowpunk, Paisley Underground, and more, all viewed through my, some say, unique perspective. I will be broadcasting live on CFRC 101.9 FM Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
Love, this is Miss Emily, and you're listening to CFRC.
Hold back the river and part the sea, 'cause I'm no change, change is the devil.